This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome into the 4 p.m. hour here on 97.3 The Fan. Matt Scraby with you. Braden Suprenant with you as well. Tony Gwynn Jr. will return for the Big 5 at 4:40. We still got a lot ahead. We have Sam Levitt's going to join us from Dodger Stadium around 5:40. I know that Mike Schilt has his media availability around 5:10. So right after that, Sam Levitt's going to come up and talk with Braden and myself. I got to thank Adam, though, real quick, because Adam always does this. He always goes like, no, don't thank me. The guy's here all the time, and he's going to be here from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. the next 3 days running the board for the midday show and for this show. So everybody out there, if you're not driving, give him a round of applause because he deserves it. And Adam's telling me to stop it, so I will. But the Padres lineup is out. Thank you.
Charge.
And it's time for us to figure out who is playing tonight. Luis Arraez leading off and DHing. Fernando Tatis Jr. batting second, playing right field. Jurickson Profar playing left field, batting third. Manny Machado playing third, hitting fourth. Jackson Merrill hitting fifth, playing center field. Bogarts in the shortstop position at number six. Cronenworth, number seven, playing second base. And then you have Donovan Solano playing first base tonight at the eighth spot, and Kyle Higashioka catching for the Padres tonight in the ninth spot. We have Michael King pitching for the Padres tonight, and Landon Knack is going to be pitching for the Dodgers. He's 3-4, 3.39 ERA with 61 strikeouts. Here's the Dodgers lineup. Otani DHing, as we know. Betts. Wait a second.
My thoughts on the Dodger lineup.
Okay. I did not expect that. That was hilarious.
I was hoping we had some sound effect of the organs you play, the lineup sounder that was just like in slow motion.
No, I need to get one of those.
But I saw that, and so yes, I pushed it.
It works. It works for me.
Proceed.
Otani, Betts, Freeman, Hernandez, Muncy, Will Smith, Tommy Edman, Gavin Lux, and Miguel Rojas playing tonight. Now, we were talking a little bit earlier, Braden, about the bottom half of the Chris always gets mad at me for this. Is the 5-9 part of the order the bottom half of the order or the top half of the order? Because I think 5-9 in the order is the bottom half, right?
I don't know. Chris always gets mad at me for that. What does he think it is?
I would have to wait for him to get back because he corrects me all the time. Anyway, we were talking about the Dodgers bottom half of the lineup earlier, and you made the point that no one in the bottom half of the lineup scares anyone for the Dodgers. Now, here's the bottom half of the lineup for the Padres. Merrill, Bogarts, Cronenworth, Solano, and Higashioka. The Dodgers, Muncy, Smith, Edman, Lux, and Rojas. I mean, it's a clear win for me that the Padres have a better 5-9.
Well, I think so. The Dodgers drastically improved it at the deadline with Tommy Edman being a seven hitter. That's pretty good for Los Angeles. Gavin Lux is okay, but he struggled at .244. Miguel Rojas, You know, he probably doesn't have too many at bats, but, you know, I'd take the Padres guys, and, you know, their numbers are relatively the same, if not better, with the exception of Higashioka. I really like the lineup for the Padres today. Arise leading off, Tatis 2, Profar 3. I thought when Tatis came back, putting him in the 2-hole would have been is a good spot. Leave Machado in the 4, where he's been hitting the majority of the time. You know, but I still think they really need a 3-hitter. And so maybe Fernando in the playoffs could be the 3-hitter for the Padres. You put Profar in 2. The Padres really haven't had a 3-hitter all year. You know, they've gone with Profar sometimes because he's had a good year. They've had Cronenworth. I thought at the beginning of the year, I said it on opening day while we were at Baja Ricks, I said, if Jake Cronenworth is your 3-hitter at the end of the season, you're in trouble. I mean, he's more at the bottom half of the order in terms of, like, and that's not a knock on Jake. That's just what you need if you want to be a playoff team. And, you know, Jake Cronenworth batting 7th is great for the Padres. Donovan Solano being an 8-hitter is great for the Padres.
Really,
you know,
is.
You know, and Higashioka might be in there just to catch Michael King. They have that camaraderie from the Yankees days and, you know, throughout the season. So I don't mind him in the 9th spot, but I would imagine more times than not that Elias Diaz will be in there to be the catcher for the Padres in playoff mode. But really like the lineup. I'd probably switch to Tatis and Profar at 2 and 3, but, you know, that we're just picking at hairs right now.
Yeah. Picking at hairs. Or splitting hairs,
you know, with those two spots.
Here, don't sleep on Jerks and Profar, because Jerks and Profar had a pretty bad 20-game stretch or so, from August 22nd, I think, until September 4th. In the last 15 games, Jerickson Profar is hitting .345 with 3 home runs, 6 walks, and he has an OPS of .995. So Jerickson Profar is starting to make his way back to the Jerickson Profar we saw earlier in the year. Fernando Tatis Jr. in the last 15 games, hitting .311 with 6 home runs, 11 RBIs, 2 stolen bases, and 2 walk-offs. And I don't know if it's the last 15 games, but Fernando, it's kind of crazy to me that Fernando's, both of his walk-off hits have happened in the last month. I would have thought he had much more than that.
Well, he hadn't had a walk-off at all, and then he got 2 in 13 games, which was nice.
And I think that the thing now is for
That's
the guys
baseball.
That tear his shirt off, because at the game on Friday, I believe he was trying hard not to get his shirt torn off or his jersey torn off, but they accomplished their mission anyway. All right, it's time for Braden versus the fans. It's just like Chris versus the fans, but Braden is going to be playing, and you're going to be qualified for a chance to win our grand prize, a 2-night stay at Wynn or Encore Las Vegas, and 2 tickets to see Awakening. Awakening, the thrilling spectacle at Wynn Las Vegas, dazzles audiences with soaring aerialists, bounding acrobats, high-energy choreography, and comedic moments at the heart of this compelling story. A hero must confront the forces of light and darkness in a quest to save the world. A mythic adventure unfolds set amid the most technologically immersive theater ever designed. Tickets are on sale now at awakening.com. Also, you will walk away with these tickets if you win. You're going to win a pair of tickets to Eric Clapton at Pechanga Arena on October 8th. Limited tickets remain at axs.com.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself,
howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
The rules, you have to make it through 3 questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Braden gets it right, me, Ron Burgundy again, you are eliminated. If Braden gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. And if you're a first time player, thanks, guys. Just let me know before the first question. First question, and you'll get that question for free today. And Chris versus the Fans is presented by SD Fat Loss. Lose 20 to 30 pounds in just 60 days. Visit SDFatLoss.com to schedule your free consultation. All right, all of that is said. Let's go to our first contestant. Let's go to Javier in Chula Vista. Javier, are you ready
to
play,
guys,
sir?
How are you doing?
Good, good.
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Question number 1. Who leads baseball in home runs so far this year?
Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge is correct. Now, question number 2. When the Cleveland Browns relocated after the 1995 season, what city did they move to?
They
again, the Baltimore Ravens.
The Baltimore Ravens is correct. Wow. Javier's just running through these questions right now. All right, third and final question. You get this right or Braden gets it wrong, and you are qualified for the trip to Las Vegas, and you will get those Eric Clapton tickets. What two teams played in Super Bowl 41 that featured Prince's famous halftime performance in the rain?
Let's just say it was the Patriots and the Eagles.
Patriots and the Eagles is incorrect. I don't know how Braden's Super Bowl halftime knowledge is, but Braden, what two teams played in Super Bowl 41 that featured Prince's famous halftime performance in the rain?
I have no idea.
You have an idea.
I don't. I have no idea. I cannot keep track of what Super Bowl teams were in what years.
Thank you, Adam.
I have no idea.
Thank you, Adam. All right. Well, that's it. Man, woo! Javier gets win. He gets their Clapton tickets.
Quickest
he gets the qualification. It was a pretty bad game.
Super
the Colts
Bowl
and the Bears.
Oh, really?
Colts and the Bears.
It was that old?
Yeah.
I thought that was a more recent one.
Can we name the starting quarterbacks?
Rex Grossman, Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning, for sure.
Thank you, Javier. Hang on the line. We're going to get your information in the break.
What year was this? 2007?
Sure.
2007. I was in sixth grade.
No, this was one of the worst Super Bowls ever because Rex Grossman, I believe, sacked himself a few times. It was raining.
Didn't they take the opening kickoff back to the house?
Devin Hester did. Yeah. The other thing in this game that I thought was fun was actually Prince's halftime show was pretty cool. He sang Purple Rain in the rain, and everybody thought that was great. I believe that Super Bowl was in Miami.
It was in one of the Florida.
Can I give an unpopular opinion?
Yes.
I don't like Prince.
I don't mind that.
I think he's all right.
I don't mind that. I mean, is the chat going to go crazy on you now
probably.
Because you said
don't
that?
Don't at me. It's fine. Like, I'm not into him.
All right, well.
I was 12 years old when that Super Bowl happened. No wonder I had no idea.
Goodness, you were 12 years old. I feel really old all
I was
of a sudden.
In sixth grade. I was 12.
Oh, my gosh. Junior says,
no wonder I don't remember.
Adam. Tyler said, how could you? Matt says, not unpopular, just bad.
That's right. That was the year that the Chargers should have went.
And McKee, Klug, how dare you? Tyler, amazing guitarist, vocalist, lyricist. What's not to love? Flanders also said that was the same year that Marlon McCree fumbled.
Yeah, that's what I saw that.
What music are you into, Adam?
So a lot of people checked out.
Yes. Adam Paul is asking this. What music are you into, Adam?
I like a little bit of everything. I listen to a lot of rap. I like Red Hot Chili Peppers, you know, Pearl Jam. I like a lot of rock stuff. Dave Matthews. I mean, I listen to a lot of stuff. I just don't like bad music.
See, I can't even go there. I can't even go. I
Prince
hope Woods is listening
songs.
Right now. I don't know what Woods how he feels about Prince. Do you know how he feels
I
about
know
Prince?
Annie loves Prince.
Annie so. Halbrin loves Prince.
Loves Prince.
I mean, a lot of people do. Derek is saying, Klug, are you serious? Adam says, Red Hot Chili Peppers are terrible. Give Klug the shovel now. Oh!
I mean, is
we've
there a
passed
worse song
off
than...
the hole digging to Adam.
Is there
He's
a
digging
worse,
himself a hole.
Is there a worse song than Party Like It's 1999?
That is a good song. Come on.
No, it's not.
It's not a bad song.
Can you find it? Do we have it in the system? Because it's pretty good.
Prince better than Michael Jackson?
I don't know. Michael Jackson. I'm sure they both did weird things in their spare time. This is a good song. I don't understand how you cannot like this song.
I'm not like a huge Prince fan. Like, I'm not going to listen to a bunch of Prince, but the songs that he has that I like.
Uriel, you need to calm down a little bit. He said Adam's attitude sucks. I don't like that. It's just an opinion, Uriel.
Just because I'm saying I don't like a popular artist?
Yeah, I don't get that either. I like this song, so people pretend to like Prince to seem like they know music.
Exactly.
I don't claim to know music,
exactly.
So I'm the least musical person probably in this room.
I respect all music.
I listen to Slipknot. I listen
to...
Yeah,
you got the headbanger stuff, don't you?
I listen to that. System of a Down.
March
like
of
whatever.
Mephisto. There's a lot of things I listen to. Oh, gosh. Cradle of Filth is another great one.
Have you listened to the new Linkin Park with the new singer?
I have not.
They have a new Linkin Park?
Yeah, they have a new singer.
They have a female singer now.
Yes. And
really?
I have not heard it. Is it good?
I've heard it.
I'm going to have to go listen to some of that.
Is it better than Prince? Am I asking the wrong person?
You're asking the wrong person.
Wow, Linkin Park with the new singer is better than Prince.
All right.
You heard it here first. Not from me.
0-for-1 in his first foray into Braden versus the fans. We'll play again tomorrow.
In my defense, my my knowledge is not as abound because I haven't been on this planet as long as Chris.
Well, no one has. I mean, he's the oldest living human being in the world. Come on, we all know that. When we get back, I'm going to tell you something about the Rookie of the Year award that might also be an unpopular opinion, and we're also going to update you on our Odyssey Fantasy Football League when we get back here on 97.3.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Fan. All right, that was a fun entry into Braden versus the fans, but we really got more from Adam than anything else. I mean, Adam is getting crushed. Crushed! On the chat right now for his Prince take.
I need money, goes. I'd rather listen to Joe Davis call baseball games than listen to Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Well, that's,
I need money is just on Adam for his Red Hot Chili Peppers.
That's just
thing.
Crazy. I mean, I am not a huge fan of Joe Davis. He's a good announcer. He's really good. But I don't know that I like the voice over Red Hot Chili Peppers, because everybody knows Red Hot Chili Peppers. Anyway, this is Gwynn and Chris. I am Matt Scraby. That's Braden Zaprenant. Adam Klug here as well. Tony Gwynn Jr. will rejoin us for the Big Five here in about 20 minutes or so, and Chris Ello is on vacation. He will be back next week. He actually texted Tony and I today saying that he was in Portland, Maine, and he is now back in the United States of America.
Where did he go again? He went to Canada?
He went to Canada. He did like a little river cruise, I believe.
Oh, wow, river cruise.
Got to see all like these different foliages, I think is how you say it. These different leaves. I don't know that the leaves are changing in September.
They do.
Okay.
Up that way?
Yeah. I didn't know I had a
I just saw a graphic on that of like where leaves start to change at what month, like on a map, and like by that part of this continent, leaves are already changing.
All right, well, good for Chris. He'll be back in a week, and we'll go from there. Now, I told you before the break that I wanted to talk about something with the Rookie of the Year, and I've seen this thrown around a lot, and I haven't told anyone about this take yet, but I've seen the take that the Rookie of the Year needs a pitcher award and it needs a hitter award. And we are talking about this because Jackson Merrill and Paul Skeens are both up for the Rookie of the Year award in the National League. And both of them are deserving. Paul Skeens has not done anything to go away at all. He's actually, you know, gotten better. But when you go to MLB.com and you look at the stats page, it still has that whole thing where you can't find his stats because he's not qualified. So that's my thing. But is that he can't even qualify for like an ERA title, so how can he qualify for the other awards like Cy Young and Rookie of the Year? I was on board with having two awards until I thought about it a little bit more. And the reason I don't want two awards is because Rookie of the Year is something that only one person should win in each league. I mean, you could even say it should be one person should win for entire Major League Baseball, but I'm fine with one winning in each league. And the reason is because there is a winner. You have to have one winner, and everybody these days gets a trophy. And I feel like that's a sort of response to two players that maybe deserve the award, is that, oh, hey, they're so good together, each of them need their own award. But I don't want that. There's nothing wrong with having a clear winner or someone that has been voted as the winner of this award. And I don't know how you feel about this, Braden, but I do not want to see two because I'm tired of the everyone gets a trophy mentality.
I don't really care for awards. I think they're dumb. I think they're hype. Dumb. I think they're dumb. I think awards in sports are dumb. Aside from like the championship trophy at the end, because I think it's everybody's got their own agenda on these awards that vote for them. It seems like, and I just think it's a popularity contest more times than not. And Paul Skeens is popular because of what he did at LSU, and he dates Livy Dunn and all this other stuff. I think it's kind of ridiculous now. From a standpoint for the players' perspective, they have incentives and money incentives for awards. Sure. So for me, it's like, you know what? Make a Rookie Pitcher of the Year award. Make a Rookie of the Year award for both leagues. I mean, if we're just gonna hand out awards, let's hand out awards. College baseball and college athletics have those all the time. They have the pitcher of the year, the position player of the year. They have the freshman of the year. They have the freshman pitcher of the year. They separate it because it's two separate entities. To me, if you're going to be giving out an award for Rookie of the Year, I think it needs to be two separate things. I mean, what Paul Skeens does on the mound is drastically different than what Jackson Merrill does at the plate. It's two different levels of competition. You're comparing apples and oranges in this particular case. Give them both an award. Who cares?
Because everybody gets an award then. Let's go to Matt in San Diego. He has an opinion about this. What's up, Matt?
How's it going, guys? Thanks for taking the call.
Of course. What's on your mind?
I don't think they need to split it. It's not a trophy take. That's not my cup of tea necessarily, but it's more, I think this is just a year where there's a really, really good pitcher and a really, really good hitter. I don't think we need to freak out and change the landscape of the award because of a year. But I guarantee you what would happen, you split the award because, yes, Jackson Merrill and Paul Skeens, if you could split the award, both deserve it at this point. I give Merrill the tip because he played a full season. But inevitably what's going to happen is there's not always a year where there's a hitter and a pitcher who both deserve Rookie of the Year. So you're going to get some rookie who pitched the full year, got 11 wins with a 4.2 ERA, getting Pitcher Rookie of the Year because, they were the best that was there. I don't think you need to split it and dilute it. And there are years where, I mean, Ronald Acuna won the NL Rookie of the Year over Juan Soto. And so, like, there are always years where there's multiple good guys and someone wins out and someone doesn't. I don't think necessarily because this year is unique, you need to go changing the entire award.
It's a great take, Matt. Thank you for the phone call. I agree. I mean, we did this with when the Chiefs and the Bills played in the playoffs a few years ago. Everybody wanted, because I don't think the Bills got a chance to answer after the Chiefs went down and scored. They won the game in sudden death. Everybody wanted to change the playoff format. And it was just because we saw a great game and we didn't really want it to end. I do like that, though, about having Paul Skeens is not going to come around every single year.
Can I add on to that point about there are just some years where there's two deserving guys? I mean, in 2022, Ohtani had an 875 OPS. He hit 34 bombs with 95 RBIs and 90 runs scored, while also as a pitcher right? Oh, man, I had it right here. 2022. He threw 166 innings with a 2.33 ERA. And guess what? He didn't win AL MVP because Aaron Judge won that year when he broke the AL home run record. Like, Otani was amazing, and he didn't win MVP. There were two deserving candidates that year.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes...
We didn't freak out and change rules.
I think that's what makes this thing so... because at the end of a career, you're going to look back and you're going to say, oh, Otani only won X amount of MVPs. You know what I'm saying, Braden? Like, if you say, okay, Otani won, you know, if he has 8 MVPs, but 4 of them were shared, it doesn't really make a difference to me that they're shared. Or if he's the best pitcher or the best hitter, I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying?
I really don't think it's that deep. I mean, just
am I making this too deep?
Hand out the awards. I mean,
well,
to
that's
me,
not see, but see, here, that's not how it happens.
But they made relief pitcher of the year for both leagues because the Cy Young wasn't enough. I mean, it's not about sports; it's about entertainment. This is an entertainment business, not a sport business. To me, it's what do people want to see? They want to see entertaining things. People like awards. I mean, that's why you have all these dumb award shows all the time.
It's really just us fighting over it.
Hand out the awards. Who cares?
The other thing is, in sports, all we do is preach team mentality, and now we're trying to like
singular
romanticize individual achievements.
Individual achievements.
I mean, if you've watched sports in the last 5 years, I mean, there's not a lot of team in sports nowadays.
There's no I in team still. I mean, they haven't changed the spelling of the word. All right, let's go to Troop real quick, and then we're going to head to break and get to the big five. Troop, you are on. How's it going?
Hey, what's up, guys? Real quick, I heard something the other day that Jackson Merrill won Offensive Rookie of the Month, and I don't remember who won Rookie Pitcher of the Month. I'm not saying that we should do two, but the MLB is already has the format. So, I mean, if you're going to have, you know, Jackson Merrill wins Rookie of the Month the entire time, and then Paul Skenes wins it the 3 weeks he's been in the majors,
yeah,
then that's not fair. If he doesn't qualify for stats, it's not fair.
Thank you, Troop.
That's what it is.
Thank you.
So later, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks very much, Troop.
But as I said, awards in sports are not fair. It's about, you know, hype, and it's about getting people to talk.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
That's why I don't like awards. I think it's a waste of everybody's time. So if you're just going to hand out awards because we want to make sure Paul Skenes wins an award because it's good for baseball, then just make the awards. I mean, that's what they're for. It's entertainment. It's get people involved. They're trying to make the casuals like the sport. You know who the casuals like? Livy Dunn. Who
exactly.
dates Livy Dunn? Paul Skenes. Give him an award.
Major League Baseball.
They think young people are going to watch the sport if you give Paul Skenes
but
an
here's
award.
The thing about Livy Dunn is at the dog park, this dad who has a daughter who knows nothing about baseball knows all about Paul Skenes because Livy Dunn is dating him. So
it's the same thing with Travis Kelce.
No, I get that. And here's my last point. And the reason that they probably are going to split up these two awards is because they can find two sponsors for the award, and so they can make
more
money.
You can make money. Again,
it always comes back to money.
It's not about the sport. It's about entertainment. This is an entertainment business, not a sports business.
They're going to give away the Rolaids NL Rookie of the Year Hitter Award or something like that. That's what's going to happen. All right. We're going to head to the big...
What are you going
to
call them if you split them up, too? The Rookie of the Year Hitter?
Rookie Pitcher of the Year.
Oh, well, it's got to be the Paul Skenes Award because...
That's what it'll be in 15 years when he's done.
I know. I'm being a huge hater right now. Huge hater.
I'm anti-awards.
I figured this out. Didn't know that about you.
Same thing with the Hall of Fame. I'm like, the Hall of Fame's cool for a museum part, but I can't get into the Hall of Fame discussions. It's a waste of my time.
So when I asked you about someone being a Hall of Famer earlier, you were rolling your eyes at me.
I was like, okay, cool. Put him in there.
All right, when we get back, the Big Five, and Major League Baseball had really high attendance numbers this year. We're going to tell you how many fans actually showed up to games this year, and they're going to give their thoughts on why people are going to games. So you'll hear that when we get back here on Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Cruising right along here on Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Padres are going to be playing tonight at 7:10. So it's not 6:40. Make sure you plan accordingly. They'll be at 7:10. Sammy Leavitt is going to be taking over the EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show at 6:10. And he's also going to join us on the show at 5:40 from Dodger Stadium. So a lot still left on the show, including the Big Five, which is after your traffic report.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
And for the next couple days, it's going to be a Big Five with Braden Suprenant. Tony, I don't know that we've ever done an edition of the Big Five with Braden before. This is going to be exciting, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we haven't done anything like this before, so it should be fun.
I've never been part of the Big Five, but
okay, you can confirm it. I should have just come to you first, yeah, actually, to see if you've ever done a Big Five.
I've seen it on your Instagram before, but and I've listened to it a lot, but I've never been part of the Big Five. It's a great honor to be part of the Big Five.
I mean, this is the longest segment on the station.
I believe it.
Yeah. All right. Here we go.
So do I gotta be like curmudgeon like Chris or
just go, hey, well, I don't really know about this.
Easy Roz.
Yes. All right. Already off to a weird start here in the Big Five. Not only did the Padres set a single season attendance record, Major League Baseball is up in attendance as well. On the year, MLB games have drawn a total of 68,440,732 fans, which is up 0.7% compared to the same point last year. The first season after a number of rule changes was last year were instituted to improve the pace of play and increase in-game action. This is going to be the first time Major League Baseball has had consecutive years of attendance gains since 2011 and 2012. Tony, why do you think more people are going to games?
They're more entertaining than they have been. You know, the best players are getting, or at least allowing them to showcase themselves in a way. You know, it's not a 4-hour event anymore or 3-hour and 30-minute event, which is what we were averaging, I believe. So, yeah, I think this is it's been an all-around good thing. Some of these rule changes have forced the action at least a little bit. I think for the superstars it works. I think the goal is to get kind of a median, you know, in terms of the type of players that are out there. I think we look at the numbers overall, offense is continuing to plummet, and it's really the big dogs kind of holding it up right now to what it is, which isn't much. And I think the game will be better when, you know, the guys who aren't superstars, there's more of those type of guys that impact a game. I think the game will continue to get better that way. How do we get to that point? I'm not sure.
Braden, why do you think more people are going to baseball games?
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I mean, obviously, we're a handful of years now out of COVID, but I think after that experience for a lot of people, I think more people are interested in getting out and enjoying life. But I also think a lot of these teams have done exactly what the Padres have done and made it an event and made it a place to be and a cool place to hang out. And they have all these different, you know, all the venues now have these group seatings and all of these, you know, social areas to watch a Major League Baseball game. And it's fun for a lot of people that don't even necessarily like baseball to go hang out at these different parks. And I've been to a handful of different parks this year. Obviously, Tony's been to a lot more. But, you know, when I was in Cincinnati, they had a cool little setup outside the ballpark, just like Petco Park has. And people were hanging out, having a good time. And same thing in the ballpark. Went to Wrigley Field. Now, that's a little bit of a different story. They always love going to games. But I think a lot of people, I think baseball and a lot of their executives at these different ballparks have made their event more than just the baseball game, and it gets a lot of people that are not necessarily diehard baseball fans to go and enjoy, you know, a night out or an afternoon out with baseball kind of being the center circle of it. So I agree with Tony's points on a lot of the rule changes and the play being a lot more entertaining, but also I think a lot of these teams have done a great job of making it a social place to be, you know, each and every night and afternoon.
Wow, that was a great start to the Big Five, Braden. Great answer there.
No, thank you.
Great answer.
Appreciate it.
Tony, anything to add? Nothing?
I think that a lot of that's true, especially the COVID part. People, you know, I think being locked down has changed a lot of people's perspective in terms of getting out and as he said, enjoying life. I'm not sure, though, about the other state. I've been in a lot of these stadiums, man. Nobody's doing it like the Padres are doing it. Now, Cincinnati, which Braden brought up, is a good one. And they, but the common denominator is there's someone for them to go watch, right? At Eli De La Cruz, I went there last year, went there this year. He is the reason why people are showing up to the ballpark. And I think, you know, you think about stolen bases, you think about some of the things that he's taking advantage of. It forces people out to the park to come watch. You know, in terms of that, in terms of what the Padres do, I honestly, when I say that it's one of a kind, it truly is in terms of the fan experience that you get at Petco. There just isn't any place like it.
Number four.
Christian McCaffrey is doing what he can to return to the field for the 49ers, even if that means flying overseas. Now, I guess yesterday, head coach Kyle Shanahan said that CMC went to Germany this past weekend in order to see a specialist for the Achilles injury that has sidelined him to start the year. That came from Eric Branch of the San Francisco Chronicle. And some think CMC should shut it down for the year before he hurts himself even more. Braden, do you think CMC should shut it down?
Well, I think it really depends on what the specialist says about his injury. Obviously, if they think he cannot heal in time and needs an entire year off, then he obviously should shut it down for the season. But, you know, now with the NFL season being so long, you know, he could shut it down for, you know, half the season and still make a huge impact for the Niners in the second half if that's enough of the recovery time. So I think it all depends on what the risk-reward is for Christian McCaffrey and his long-term future in the game in terms of how much more damage he could do to his Achilles. And Achilles injury is, I mean, that is a catastrophic injury for all athletes. And, you know, and we see a lot more of them now in football. And if it's in a spot where, you know, he could potentially tear it at any point in time, I mean, obviously, you don't really want to play with that. So I think it all depends on what exactly he was told by the specialist in Germany. And if the guy says that, you know, after a couple of weeks that you could go back after it and not have to worry about things, I think that's what he needs to. I think it's worth playing after that for the Niners. I might be a little biased because I have him in fantasy football as well.
I was waiting for it.
At the same time, though, to me, I view this as kind of like the Fernando injury, right? If he has to spend time until that thing's fully healed for him to be able to play, then that's what he's going to have to do. But just to say he needs to be shut down for the entire year, I think it really depends on what the medical personnel told him.
Agree. Tony, do you think he should shut it down?
First of all, I love Drake Brayton's answer, but I also love the fact that the non-experts are the ones saying that he should shut it down for the season. It just is mind-blowing to me that they already have an opinion out there, and this man hasn't even gone to see the actual doctor that is going to help him make this decision.
No, he already did. He was in Germany over the weekend.
But I'm saying they were telling him to shut it down before Germany thing happened this weekend. So here's what I'll say is that, you know, when in doubt, head to Germany. I think Kobe, like, went to Germany to help get his knee right at one point, right? Clearly, they have some advanced things there that keep sending these players to go down there. But I think he should wait and see what the doctor tomorrow. Go off of whatever the specialist said. This is the beauty about being in professional sports on these professional teams. Like, you have access to some of the best doctors, and you can get multiple opinions. And so you can come up with a kind of a way to at least make yourself feel good about the decision you're making. But ultimately, it should be based off of this information he got from the specialist and what the team doctors are telling him as well. You got to be careful with this, though, because, you know, obviously everybody has different motivations for him to coming back, right? I mean, I think for McCaffrey, it's about getting healthy first and then helping his team. 49ers, you know, most teams, they want you to get out there and help regardless. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. This is why you get other opinions, to make sure that it's lining up.
Number three.
Words to live by. When in doubt, go to Germany. The Dolphins are in major quarterback trouble, and their season is on the brink of being lost. Tua is out another three games. Skylar Thompson is dealing with an injury, and they're down to third stringer Tim Boyle. They do have Tyler Huntley, who they signed last week. There have been some names thrown around, but I think there is one out there that they could easily go after. Jaguars backup quarterback Mac Jones. Played a little bit last night, but I'm not going to ask you if Mac Jones or about Mac Jones, but I'm asking, do the Dolphins, Tony, need to bring in another quarterback to keep their season alive?
I don't know if I'm a quarterback if I want to go at this point.
Everybody's getting hurt.
My man's back is broken. I think I have some questions about this offensive line if this is the case. Now, as to be fair, Tua got cracked scrambling.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like he was well protected in that game either. So, yes, they're going to need a quarterback. I mean, I think you go with what you got. I'm not sure that there's one out there that's going to make that much more of a difference at this point. So, yeah, man, they're in a rough spot, man. Their quarterback's out for at least another, 3 weeks? This was the first week of the four, right, that he has to sit out.
Yeah.
Skylar Thompson is his chest?
Ribs.
What is he hurt with?
Rib.
Significant rib injury.
Yeah. Ribs, yeah. So his ribs are broken. And, your third string guy, it doesn't sound like they're confident in. So this is not the start you want to have. And I get the season's a little bit longer, so you got at least, one more game to play with. But this ain't going in the right direction.
Braden?
It's not going in the right direction, and the Dolphins, with the amount of money they spent on skill position guys, are in win-now mode with Tyreek Hill and company. So, yeah. That's another factor. It's like we talk about with the Padres, this year and the last couple of years. It's, when you sign these big contracts to these athletes and they're in their prime, I mean, you got to win during that time. Otherwise, you waste, the money on the contracts by not giving them an opportunity to succeed. So they obviously do need a quarterback. I mean, you mentioned Mac Jones. I mean, my question is, why haven't they been on the phone with Pittsburgh to talk about maybe Russell Wilson coming down to Miami? That
Tony
might cost
would love
a lot
that.
Of
Tony
might
would love
cost a lot of money. But Justin Fields has been pretty good for Pittsburgh, and if you're Pittsburgh right now, you keep playing the hot hand and listen to what the Miami Dolphins have to offer. But there are a couple of quote answers out there for Miami. But at the last, but they're 0-3, right? If I'm not mistaken, they win
yes.
a game. Yeah, they're 0-3.
No, wait, they won the first one, didn't they?
Did they win the first game?
Let me look up while you're.
It doesn't matter. They're either 1-2 or 0-3. The Dolphins.
They're 1-2.
1-2. So again,
they have one win.
They're not
that.
Like well out of it. And again, we mentioned before how long of the season it is for Miami and for the NFL at that point. But, if they continue to run out Skylar Thompson or Tim Boyle, they're just going to continue to not win football games because it's already, we're in this new era of quarterback play where it's there's not a lot of quarterbacks to go around in general. And if you don't have one of the top guys in the league, you're going to struggle. And the Dolphins can't really afford to do that. So if they can find a Band-Aid to this situation with somebody else, I think they definitely have to take advantage of it because of the contracts they've handed out.
They are 1-2, by the way, so that is confirmed.
Number two.
A sports writer in Toronto for the Toronto Sun wrote about the Raptors and how they are going to retire Vince Carter's number as a Toronto Raptor. The article said that, yeah, he was a good player, but he didn't really do anything in the long term for the Raptors. He never won even one best of seven playoff series in Toronto. He got to only one. He played 15 playoff games as a Raptor, winning six of them. So, Braden, do you think the Raptors should retire his number?
Well, to me, for a retired number, my kind of rule of thumb is, that guy's got it. That player needs to be an iconic part of that franchise and has had accomplished a lot of what he accomplished as a player in that organization. Now, there's a couple other caveats to that, too. Obviously, here in San Diego, and there's controversy on it with some younger fans. But, Steve Garvey hit that big home run and got his number retired. And, you look at just the Padres' numbers. Can you tell a story about the Toronto Raptors without mentioning Vince Carter? And if the answer is you can't, then, you need to, I think his number should be retired in Toronto. But, if you want to go, I don't like doing it based on just playoff wins and losses. I mean, I know that's an easy way to evaluate certain players, but there's a lot of players. I mean, it's a team effort still, even though you know, he had an individual impact. So, you know, from that kind of logic, are you going to retire Kawhi Leonard's number in Toronto because he won a championship with the Toronto Raptors? I mean, I don't really think that is warranted. So I do think they should retire. If it's up to, you know, whether or not they should retire Vince Carter's number, yeah, go for it. I don't see why that's a bad deal. I mean, he accomplished a lot of the things that he accomplished in his career with the Toronto Raptors. I mean, when I think of Vince Carter, I do personally think about the Raptors, even though he played on a handful of teams after that. So I'm not against Vince Carter's number getting retired in Toronto.
Tony, what about you? Do you think the Raptors should retire Vince Carter's number?
Yeah, this is a no-brainer. Vince Carter brought that organization to prominence. Like, no one was checking for the Raptors before. I think they had They had Damon Stoudemire, and they had Marcus Camby before that. But nobody was checking for the Raptors until Vince got there. And so he spent a significant part of his career there. He ended up playing in a bunch of other different places as well. But that franchise, as Brayden just said, they can't tell their story without Vince Carter. I think this is a no-brainer.
Well, I am happy to get to bring up a Toronto Raptor story so I can play my Raptor sound effect. All right.
Number one.
Jurassic Park just
Man, Brayden gives me the same look that Chris does when I try to make those jokes.
You need the didn't sounder every time.
Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence had a pretty rough night last night, and in his fourth season, he's still trying to break through. Since entering the league, he's had 61 turnovers, which is the most in the NFL. Since November 26, 2023, he's had 8 NFL starts and 8 NFL losses. He has a record of 20-33 as a starter, and the Jaguars signed him to a 5-year, $275 million deal, and they really can't get out of it until about 2029. Tony, do you think Trevor Lawrence has his best play ahead of him?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think he's washed or done or, you know, stick a fork in him, anything like that. I think he's going through some growing pains, quite frankly. I mean, honestly, it's amazing he got here. With some of the moves. Again, we talk about guys being drafted by the right organization. Now, I think he may have the right coach. He may not have the right coach, even in Doug Peterson right now. But you know he didn't have the right coach with Urban Meyer. I think there was somebody before. Was there somebody before Urban? Or was Urban his first?
I think Urban was his first. So let me double check, though.
Yeah, so either way, if Urban was his second, that means he had the other dude for like 1 year. And so, like, he has really just started. And it was amazing he did something as well as he did the first year he got Doug Peterson. So I think he's just kind of going through some of the rookie pains or young quarterback pains that he goes through. I know people in today's society, the expectation is that you're good, like, right now. And he may not be one of those guys.
Urban was his first head coach, so that's pretty mm-hmm. tough. That's pretty tough.
Yeah, so behind the eight ball.
Yes, he is. Brayden, what about you? Do you think his best play's ahead of him?
I think so. I think he could still be a very good quarterback in the National Football League. And, you know, the quarterback conversations all the time in the NFL are fascinating because some guy will show up from college, right, and he'll be the greatest thing since sliced bread, and then he'll have like 3 or 4 bad games and go, this guy sucks, and then let's move on right. to the next guy. And it's such a position that, you know, especially in the media, it's so fickle on how they evaluate quarterbacks. I mean, it's whatever the flavor of the day is seems to be who the top quarterback in the league is. You could go on a 3-game stretch where you're throwing for over 300 yards and 4 touchdowns apiece, and you're the greatest quarterback to ever live. And then all of a sudden, 3 games later, you go on a little bit of a slump, and it's like, this guy's terrible. They got to go find somebody else. I mean, to me, the perfect example of that is Lamar Jackson. I mean, the Lamar Jackson came into the league, right, and he struggled a little bit. This guy can't play, right, because he's a running quarterback. Then he had, like, an MVP season. It's like, this guy's the greatest thing ever. And then, again, he struggled a little bit, and they're ready to throw him under the bus. But It is so hard to play quarterback in the National Football League. It is such a tough position, and that's why I'm pretty overcritical about quarterbacks all the time, especially when they get a lot of extra praise just because they happen to be good for, you know, three or four games in a row. It's a tough position, and right now there's not a lot of those elite quarterbacks to go around, and that could be a whole podcast topic about how these quarterbacks in this era are different than the ones that we just had just because of the way they went through their progression of like high school, playing in high school and the Elite 11 camps and doing a lot of 7-on-7 with no pressure. And then you get to the National Football League and all of a sudden you got pressure in your face and all of your weapons are just as talented, or sorry, the defense you're going against is just as talented as everybody on your team. It's a different animal, and it's a lot of ups and downs as a quarterback. So I think Trevor Lawrence still has his best play ahead of him. And I think Tony hit the nail on the head when it came to getting drafted by the right organization. That's a huge factor in this as well.
Yes, it is. Well, very nice debut, Braden, in the Big Five. Good job. We're going to be doing a couple more of these this week with Braden in with us. And when we get back, we are going to head to the 5 p.m. hour, which includes a visit from Sammy Lev. And we'll get you set for game one between the Dodgers and the Padres here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.